Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, and by the way, we will wander into the other two lessons along the way. But from the gospel lesson, the last two verses. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. The heart and core of the gospel lesson, that is the healing of blind Bartimaeus. But there's something behind it, because as it is with all of the miracles, there's always something behind it. And at this point, I have to give you a little bit of sign language information. In the language, there is a timeline, and it runs like this: past to future. In the past, the future, and one of the signs is forever on into the future. But in sign language, you ask, why? Why is blind Bartimaeus being healed? Why? Why? And the language divides in two directions at that point. Two answers to why. One is because, and because goes backwards into the past. And the other answer is for. For what purpose? What's the goal? What is the intent for doing these things? And that's into the future. And in this gospel lesson, those two aspects are absolutely insisting on coming to the fore. Why is it that blind Bartimaeus is healed? Well, because. Because undergirding this healing, there are the prayers of Jesus. Coming before the miracles, there is the intercession. And Jesus prays. This is a pattern for his ministry. Early in the morning, going out to a lonely place, he was there and he was praying, and they were searching for him. Finally come across him. That's in Mark chapter 1 even. He ever lives to make intercession for us, to say to his Father, "I want this one in my kingdom. I want this one as my brother or sister. I want this one walking with me through the ages of eternity." He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. And this is the big stuff. The miracles are the little things. The situation and condition in life is the small stuff. That's the piddling things. The question actually is, what's your relationship with God? Because what's your relationship with God is something that God has designed and he has planned, and he had it in mind when he created Adam and Eve, that they would know him and walk with him and have fellowship with him. It's the entire why of why Jesus came into this world. Because he came to save us, because we needed him, because we needed an intercessor, a great high priest. So the character of the healing. The character of the healing is very strange, even in the Gospel of Mark, where there are quite noticeable differences in the patterns of healing. This one, what do you want me to do for you? Rabbi, let me recover my sight. All right, done. It's very summary and without any details. You know, going into the reading of this in the Gospel of Mark, you're kind of hoping to see Jesus do something like lay his hands on Bartimaeus. Or then there's the one man who Jesus laid his hands on and asked him if he had begun to see, and the guy says, I see men like trees walking, and Jesus does a little bit more, and then his sight is clear. Hoping for some details, but no. Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Go your way, your faith has made you well. Quite remarkable. It's almost as if this had been in the works for a while, which actually is the truth of it, isn't it? Jesus knew Bartimaeus. He knew Bartimaeus long before that day. Bartimaeus did not know him, but he knew Bartimaeus. And Jesus had been waiting for that meeting. How long had Jesus been waiting for that meeting? Since before the first dust of the earth. That's some long planning. And Bartimaeus thinks he is pursuing God and seeking a miracle and seeking healing. That may be his angle on it, but no. God was pursuing him. God had been arranging things in his life for the sake of that meeting that day, so that Bartimaeus could not only receive sight, but receive that call into a relationship with God, which would be eternal. God had been pursuing him and leading him through what one hymn in our hymnal calls devious ways to bring him to that moment of meeting with Jesus in order to bring him into the eternal relationship. And underlying all of that, here's some more, because preparation for this, Jesus is our great high priest. We need him. We need him so very desperately. We need him to be our intercessor. We need him to speak for us before his Father. But before we go a step further on that, define that. And it is not like Jesus goes in front of his Father and pleads because his Father's all reluctant to have us brought into the kingdom of God. That's not how it is. Rather, there is this perfect unity and harmony, and Jesus praying for us and interceding for us. He has the heart of the Father sort of rooting for his prayers, welcoming those intercessions, ready to say, yes, my son, yes. And so Jesus intercedes for us. We needed him to be our intercessor. We needed one like him. We needed an intercessor who is holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens. And you know why we needed an intercessor of that type? Think about it. Think about how much sin and evil there is in the world. We needed this one who could be the holy and innocent sacrifice, the sufficient atonement for the sins of the world, to offer himself up once for all, as the epistle says, Hebrews 7, once for all, as the one sacrifice that is absolutely perfect and able to cover all of the sins of humanity. I'll define that a bit more, okay? Consider how much sin there is all around you in the world. It's rampant. And realize that Jesus has borne the sins of all. Then, think about where that evil has touched your life and the lives of those around you. Sins that have become personal. And realize that Jesus also carried every one of those sins. Every offense against you, even the sins of your worst enemy, are carried by Jesus to the cross. And then you look in the mirror, and you understand that you also have sinned against others. And Jesus carried those sins. And you look inside and you see hidden depths of evil in your own soul. Some of it hidden from others and others of it hidden from even yourself. And those sins also Jesus carried. Even the ones you don't know are there. One sacrifice. Once for all, absolutely perfect. And so Jesus comes into the world and comes to Bartimaeus. And he has a thing in mind, that Bartimaeus will live forever and walk with Jesus in all the ages of eternity. That's the plan. It's the same plan as why he came into this world for you. But I met a man. This was 30-some years ago. Met a man visiting as a pastor, and I went to see him, and he said, "Preacher, I don't need anything of what you're peddling today." Okay. As a young pastor, that'll get your attention. I stuck around long enough to say, "Why exactly?" And he told me. He said, "World War II. I was on a battleship and it got shot out from under me and I was there in the water, and I called out and asked God to send somebody to pull me out. And he did. And time went on, and it happened again. And I asked him to send somebody to pull me out, and he did. So, since he's done that for me, I don't need anything else." Well, that was kind of strange. You see, when God does miracles, when he answers what I call a first article prayer, a first article prayer is for the things of this body and this life. It has to do with creation and the wants and needs of the body. First article prayer, and usually for healing or for some sort of this world deliverance. But whenever God answers one of those prayers, there is a for. For what? For what purpose? God has something in mind. And what God has in mind whenever he answers a first article prayer is to also give a second article blessing. What's a second article blessing? And that would be a relationship with Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins and eternal life given, earned not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Always, always without exception, when God answers the prayers for this world needs, he has in mind that his relationship with us will deepen and grow into all of eternity. So over in the Gospel of John next door, kind of, we've been studying on Sunday mornings, John chapter 5, there's a healing at the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus warned the healed man, sin no more that nothing worse may happen to you. He has in mind, there's a goal, there's a purpose. And it is always to call to follow him and walk with him. Not to leave the relationship with God as only this world blessings. So notice the exchange again. Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And the gospel lesson finishes with, immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Always the something more. He doesn't want to give his blessings for this world only, for this life only. Although those may be blessings for decades, close to a century, but that's not long enough for God. He thinks in terms of eternity. And so prominent is that in the way that God does things. So important is that relationship that is eternal that there are even times when there are troubles and curses of this life to bear that he will use to lead us into his blessings that are eternal. So Bartimaeus lost his sight so that he could have that encounter with Jesus and know salvation. A fellow I know of who wrote a bunch of books, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, describes spending decades in the Soviet prison camps so that he can see Christians living their faith in impossible circumstances and then say at the end, thank you, Gulag. Without you, I would never have known God in this way. And there are so many others around the world who go through this life, who face the problems and the curses that come along in this world and learn to turn away from the temporary blessings and to see what God really has in mind, which is an eternity of blessings. And so, Jesus came to pursue and call and win us for God, for the kingdom of God, for being with him forever. The Old Testament lesson says, Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, and so on. He declares it. A beautiful verse from Malachi. Malachi 3:17. God says, "They shall be mine, says the Lord, in the day when I make up my treasured possession." And it's personal. Because Jesus, talking with his Father, says, "Father, I want them to be with me." And it's built into promises. Isaiah 43, "I've called you by name, you are mine, says the Lord." So much that at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus takes the name of God, I am, and between those two words, he puts a promise, with you. So that literally it does not read, I am with you, but I with you am. He is the with us God. And so here comes Bartimaeus. And Jesus is ready. And Jesus is calling him. And calling him into the kingdom. And here comes a young man named Saul, persecuting Christians and riding into Damascus to find more Christians to persecute. And Jesus is ready. And Jesus is calling him into the kingdom. And here comes Martin Luther, trying to figure out how to do righteousness on his own. And Jesus is ready. And Jesus is calling him into the kingdom. And here comes you. And Jesus is ready. And Jesus is calling. In Jesus' name, amen.